What is up, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome to episode 228 of the Massive Breakdown Podcast. We have a fantastic episode for you tonight. We're going to be going over all of the new seasonal weapons, so that's stuff that that has a cool, unique aesthetic theme to it. The Iota Draconis is one, Crashera Mello. There's about six of them total, three primaries, two specials, and the heavy. We're going to be talking about all of those, breaking them down for you, going over the perks, the times to kill, what you should be looking for, what you should be targeting. And also how we like them, because we've played with all of them, and we'll talk to you about them. But first, let's get the introduction out of the way. As always, I'm your host, Mercules, joined tonight by Kit Kutcha. And how are you doing this evening, Kit?
Doing pretty fantastic, Mercules. I've been playing just about as much Destiny as I ever have. Just really, really enjoying Season of the Lost so far. Both the PvE and also playing just a ton of PvP. So absolutely loving it. And excited to talk about these guns. I got some vocab lessons prepared for this episode, so I'm excited to share those. How about you?
Yeah, same. I've been playing a good bit of PvP, played a good bit of the seasonal activity as well. Really been enjoying that so far. Definitely been targeting some of these roles. Got a couple of personal favorites for myself. Got a couple of maybe like sleeper hits, and got some ones that I'm not really too high on. Like you said, I mean, Destiny's in a good place. It feels good to play it a lot again. It's been a while since I've been this excited about the state of the game in general. And with Trials coming out this weekend, I'm hoping that next week we can probably do a state of the meta breakdown with the first week of Trials. I'm really interested to see what kind of rises to the top of the most competitive playlist. And I'm also interested to see how those population numbers are, given that this is looking like it's going to be the most casual friendly Trials we've ever had in Destiny.
Yeah, they just kind of reshared the details of the revamp for Trials that they have planned in the TWAB, and it is it's definitely intriguing. I will be hopping in for sure. Very much looking forward to seeing how it all plays out, and looking forward to talking about the state of the meta and then also the Trials weapons down the road. Once we have a chance to maybe get our hands on those and play with those a little bit. So yeah, lots to look forward to this season yet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I figure, why beat around the bush? Let's just go ahead and get the housekeeping out of the way. Do we have any new Patreon news?
So we do. We actually have a bunch of people to thank this week. So without further ado, shout outs to four new patrons. Thank you so much to Yogareen. We appreciate you. Kane, thank you so much for your pledge. Adam Minden, thank you for joining the Patreon crew. We appreciate it. And Uncle Chow, last but definitely not least, thank you so much for your support. We appreciate all of you joining up as we do the ongoing support of all of our patrons who are just so incredibly generous and supporting the podcast and making this something that is just... I mean, it's just so engaging getting to talk to and hear from all of these people directly has been incredibly educational, and I'm learning stuff every week, which I love. But we cannot forget, we have some other folks that we have to thank, as we do every week. These guardians are patrons, but they go above and beyond. They are giving in support of the podcast on a level that deserves some serious, massive recognition. And so that's what we're going to do right now. And I would like to share just a very special sponsor thank you with one of our ongoing patrons who has ascended the ranks to the nine. So thank you to Black Hammer Tech, who has joined the sponsor crew. At least for the time being, as I said when we talked, whatever you feel, you know, kind of inspired to give and that you can afford to give comfortably, we'll always appreciate and consider just incredibly generous. So thank you so much for joining, and thank you also to our other sponsors who continue to support at this level and have been for some time now. So, let's name them off. We've got Zinsocal, A Solitary Bird, Deacon, Askey and Monk, The Shazzle, and Conquer King 420. We deeply appreciate the incredible generosity that all of you show. And we also want to just extend a thank you to all of our listeners and everyone who supports the show through whatever means, including those folks who leave us some reviews. Do we have any of those this week?
We do, actually. We have a very wonderful review. It is from Tengu, and he says, math may be hard, but understanding weapons in D2 isn't, thanks to massive breakdowns. 5 stars. So I started playing Destiny 2 with my son back in Season of Opulence after coming back from the Middle East deployment so we could bond over the lost time. I had no idea the world I'd be jumping into in between the lore and the rich variety of weapons. After a massive learning curve, we found the Massive Breakdown podcast, and thanks to them, we've had a weekly masterclass in learning and better understanding the weapon archetypes, and I've been able to perfect my dad loadout, Hailing Confusion and Plug One, and my son has found his battle loadout, which is Bite of the Fox and Palindrome. Keep up the great work, and thanks for keeping the podcast clean for a father and son to listen to on the car rides. Well, Tengu, thank you very much for your service, and you are welcome that we keep it clean. I think we keep it more like PG-13. We're allowed one F-bomb an episode, and we try to keep it below that, which I'm pretty sure is the rule for a PG-13 movie. So I think we try to adhere to that.
Yeah, absolutely. That's awesome that you guys are able to bond over playing the game together like that. Love hearing stuff like that as a father myself. So, in total respect, pulse rifles are so hot right now.
And fusion rifles, pretty hot right now, too.
They are.
Fusion
they
rifle
are.
Usage creeping up. Interestingly, fusion rifle usage is creeping up overall. However, fusion rifles are not well resented or well represented in the top 100 right now. I was looking at the numbers. I was looking at the numbers earlier on Destiny Tracker, kind of going over them in my head, and I found that to be quite interesting. So we'll see how it all shakes out again after Trials is done. I did want to circle back real fast to the sponsors. The name is no lie. It is The Nine, and as a limited club, and correct me if I'm wrong, but we are at 7 out of the 9 right now.
We are. Yeah, this is one of those things that, like, you know, when you set up a Patreon, they say, you know, make different tiers available so people can give at whatever level they feel comfortable and that they feel is justified. And I thought, well, you know, I'm kind of going on a theme here. I'll just make this the 9. I don't really expect anyone to support us at this level. It's just sort of like, you know, kind of filling out the curve, right? And you guys just blow us away. Just absolutely every time.
So if you ever wanted to consider being a sponsor, 2 spots left. 2 spots left to take it up, and then we're not gonna read out more than those 9 names at the beginning of the episode. That's where we're capping the sponsors at that. You can always feel free to be a patron, but the orange flares will remain elusive in the Discord.
Indeed. Indeed. There are only 9 to be had, and well, only 2 to be had now.
Yeah. Well, very cool. All right. That's I hope that we have maintained our streak. Actually, I guess we broke the streak last week when we went for like 20 minutes with the housekeeping, but back under 10 minutes for the housekeeping. That means we have more time to talk weapons. So let's dive right into it. As usual, we're going to go primaries, then specials, then heavy weapons. So we're going to start at the front. We're going to talk about Vulpecula. Do you want to give us a definition of what Vulpecula is? Because to me, it sounds like a Vulpin Dracula, which I'm almost certain is not a thing.
You know, anything can happen, right? History's weird, but Vulpecula is in fact a faint constellation in the northern sky. In Latin, it means little fox. Although apparently among those who know constellations well, it is commonly referred to simply as the fox. So maybe I don't believe there's a larger fox. It's the only one, and it's small. First identified in the 17th century, and doesn't really have any particularly bright stars in it.
Are all of these constellations, is that what the linkage is here? Are they all heavenly bodies of some sort?
They're not. 3 of them are.
Oh, okay.
3 of them are. One of them, I have no idea what they're referencing. And one of them, I guess we'll get to.
Okay, cool. Well, let's talk stats real fast. So it is a 180 hand cannon by default. 180s are probably, in the current point in time, the most maligned hand cannon archetype in PvP. They have an abysmal 1 second TTK. It takes four shots. Three of those have to be crits. One is a body. Even the body shot TTK isn't great. 1.67 seconds with six body shots. The exception, of course, being Malfeasance, which kills in five. They all have below average range for hand cannons. That's not really their forte. The range usually goes between 35 and 45. Vulpecula sits right in the middle at 39. Stability is a high point for 180 hand cannons, and Vulpecula is no exception. I mean, it's actually kind of a little bit on the lower end. The 180s usually go between 56 and 64. Vulpecula is at 58, so it's not the best thing ever. I think 64 is posterity from the Deepstone Crypt raid. Handling 180s are between 33 and 49. I think Survivor's Epitaph actually has 49. This one's at 36, so it's on the lower end for handling. Handling also not a high point for 180 hand cannons for the archetype in general. They're all below average, or I think the best one is Survivor's Epitaph, and it's just barely above average for hand cannons. Reload speed is pretty decent. You've got some, there's a huge variation here in reload speed for 180s. You've got some of them that are all the way down at like 32. Like I think Nature of the Beast is at 32, and Vulpecula is way up at 57, and Posterity is above it at 61. So it is on the higher end for reload speed. Aim assist, actually a little bit disappointing. The aim assist is at 69. Posterity is 79. So I'm not super stoked about that. 69 is pretty low aim assist for 180s. And then recoil direction is 97, which means you can basically ignore it. It's pretty close to perfect. And magazine size is 12. So stat-wise, not the best 180 out there. I think what's going to convince people to roll with this gun is that it is a stasis weapon and it can roll the new stasis perks.
Yeah. I mean, I would say that my experience playing with this gun really bears out the statistics. It looks like it's not a standout precision hand cannon. And my experience playing with it in the Crucible was that it was very much not a standout. It's not something I plan to use until precisions get some kind of a buff or a lot of other guns get nerfed. I don't think there's a role available on it that would change my mind in the Crucible. I don't feel like there's a place that it fits where it's not outplayed by a lot of other weapons. But, your mileage may vary. I've certainly been killed by it plenty. I mean, it is dropping like candy. A lot of people have this gun right now. I feel like the stats line up very much with my experience, and there are a lot of other precision hand cannons that feel better. And if I wanted to use one, I would pick a different one as far as PvP play goes, just based on feel.
Yeah. There are a couple really neat perk combinations that you can get with it, though, that are pretty unique to it.
There are.
As far as barrels go, it's a hand cannon. It's a precision. I feel like you're pretty safe prioritizing range. It's not going to help a ton. I mean, that's just kind of the fact of the matter, right? Like they really capped how much range does on hand cannons. But at the same time, you don't really need a ton of stability either because it is a 180. You actually may even consider going with handling on it. In fact, there's one role in particular, which I would highly recommend maxing handling on. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. So that's kind of nice because it really, it frees up your barrel perks. You can go with Hammer Forge. You can go with Polygonal. You can go with Small Bore. You can go with Corkscrew. The only stuff I would really avoid is the things that just like dramatically hurts a stat. Like I would maybe avoid full bore, full bore tanks stability and hurts handling for plus 13 range. And I think you only get maybe a meter and a half of additional range out of it. But I would much rather have Hammer Forged Rifling where I get a meter of additional range and it doesn't hurt stability and it doesn't hurt handling, right? For magazine perks, again, it's kind of nice that everything's just that's a 180. Like 180 hand cannons feel great. That's what they do. The whole point of them is that they feel good, but their range cap is always going to be less than 140s. And 140s right now are kings of the Crucible, so it's almost not even really worth trying to hit that same level because you're not going to be able to do it. But I like Flared Magwell, as always. I really enjoy Tactical Mag. I think Accurized Rounds is a fantastic perk, especially if you got stability or handling in the barrel. You know, why not give yourself another meter of range? You can pretty easily get with two range boosting perks, no penalties. So like just Hammerforge and Accurized Rounds, you can get the range up to about 30 meters, maybe a little bit under it. And I think that's pretty good for a 180.
It is.
Now, perks though, traits, there's actually some great ones in here. Now, Ensemble is a new one. When you are pretty generously close to an ally, you gain handling and reload speed bonus. It's not a game changer, but it's a really, really nice passive perk, especially if you're playing in a 3v3 mode where you are trying to be close to another teammate. It's not really what I would prioritize on this personally, but I do think it's pretty nice to have. It's one of those perks where if you have it, you're never going to be like, oh, shit, this sucks. You're just going to be like, okay, well, it's not a game changer, but my gun feels better randomly. Shoot to loot is obviously interesting, not tremendously useful for PvP. It's kind of weirdly like buggy in PvP, where like I'll shoot a heavy ammo brick, which don't get me wrong, it's super nice to have that very situationally, where like the one or two times a game where there's a heavy ammo brick laying on the ground and you don't want to run out and go get it. But in my experience, it like takes a couple shots and it doesn't always register. Have you had the same thing happen?
So I've not been able to use it in PvP, but I do feel like it's occasionally a little finicky in PvE. You know, I think this is maybe a situation where people's mileage may vary. Maybe it's an internet connection thing. You know, I'm not on maxed out fiber, so maybe occasionally... that makes it a little harder for me. I don't know what the I don't know what the trick is with it. But I mean, you know, again, with infinite ammo in the hand cannon in PvE, it doesn't matter if it takes me a few shots. I'm not really losing anything. So I think it's an interesting option for grabbing heavy and special ammo in higher end PvE, where you may be trying to sort of brute force your way through something or solo something, and you often have to play more conservatively. So it's an interesting option to have. I was surprised to see it brought back, but I'm not upset about it. I think it's going to be interesting.
Yeah. You've also got Encore, which we talked about, I think last week on the podcast, we talked about how not particularly thrilled we were with the way that perk works. I'm going to struggle to prioritize that over the next three, which are all great perks. Tunnel Vision, Killing Wind, and Outlaw. All really fantastic. Especially because in perk slot two, you've got Headstone. And Headstone is a new perk. It's a stasis-only perk. And Precision Final Blows spawn a stasis crystal at the victim's location. That is really, really fun in PvE. Super useful. And in PvP, not bad. There's a lot of aspects and fragments and stuff which trigger off of being in proximity to stasis crystals or shattering stasis crystals. So it's actually pretty good in PvP as well. And either Tunnel Vision or Killing Wind or Outlaw, they'll all pair very, very nicely because they all activate on kills.
Yep.
Now, granted, Headstone is precision kills only, so you do have to be careful with that.
Yeah, so Headstone is, I would say, in PvE, the absolute best perk you can get on this gun. This would be, I mean, you know, it's a weapon that deals stasis damage, being able to generate stasis crystals. You know, presumably in PvE, you're going to be using this, obviously, on a stasis burn situation, right? Strike, Nightfall, Grandmaster, you know, what have you. When stasis burn is the thing, Vulpecula with Headstone is going to be incredibly, incredibly appealing. And if you can pair it with Outlaw, you will always be ready to rock and roll. I mean, it's just a phenomenal perk. In PvP, like you said, I feel like it's a little bit more gimmicky because you're very much having to play off meta in order to use it. When we see that perk on a weapon type that is already strong by itself, then I'll probably take a little more notice in the Crucible. As is, when somebody gets me with it, I mean, it's entertaining. I'm still actually trying to farm for a headstone. I've gotten like 30 Vulpeculas that don't have headstone. they all have pretty good perks. I mean, that's one of the nice things. It's a small pool, and it's also mostly good perks.
Yeah, Vulpecula has taken over from Survivor's Epitaph as my favorite PvE hand cannon right now. So I've been putting in good work with it. There's actually, this last perk slot is just chock full of good perks. You've also got Adagio, which is, in my opinion, so basically it turns it into a 140. Like functionally, it turns it into a 140. You get like a 25% damage bonus and a 20% penalty to rate of fire, and the 20% penalty to rate of fire takes it down. Like the rate of fire is like 144, which functionally is just a 140, right? So in my opinion, I'm not real high on that, especially because you have Harmony. And what I love about Harmony is that Harmony gives you a 20% damage bonus, which means you can three tap with Vulpecula. At that point, the time to kill is very fast, 0.67 seconds.
Yeah.
So if you have another gun that you're real strong with, you get a kill. Harmony is actually very generous. You have, I think, 3 seconds to swap to it to activate it. Then you have 7 seconds once you've swapped to it of damage bonus. So you could have almost 10 seconds of a damage bonus functionally, which allows you to two tap. So Harmony is exceptional. And that's the build that I said, hey, you might want to spec into handling for this. Because if you're using something else like a sniper or like a shotgun and you get a kill and you quick swap over to Vulpecula, you can go on an absolute tear with that 0.67 second time to kill.
Yeah, absolutely. So this is a weapon that I would say, you know, if you can pair it, like there's another weapon we're going to talk about in a little bit called Fractathist that also rolls with Harmony. And my dream is to just swap back and forth between Harmony weapons and just be dealing crazy damage. You know, a 20% damage buff on any weapon is just really, really enticing. And so that would be the closest thing, I think, to a role that would get me to reconsider using Vulpecula in the Crucible again. Is if I can get a solid roll with Harmony and pair it with another weapon that I really love. Maybe then.
And even if you don't get Harmony, it also rolls with multi-kill clip. And I'm pretty certain with multi-kill clip, let me actually check the numbers here. I'm pretty certain with multi-kill clip even, it can drop down to a three tap. Yeah, even with just a single stack of multi-kill clip, you can three tap. You know, that does require you to get a kill with it in its unbuffed state initially, which is a little bit harder to do. But hey, you know, it's like you have one way to get three taps and another way to get three taps. You can kind of choose, pick your poison. And then it also has opening shot. Opening shot, we all know, is great. Unfortunately, I think if you're not using Tombstone, Harmony, or multi-kill clip like this gun, there are other hand cans that do opening shot better. There are other hand cans that do explosive payload better. Like, really, the joys of this gun are hand cannon with Harmony, hand cannon with Tombstone. You know, even multi-kill clip, there are other 1As that have multi-kill clip, too, that have better stats.
Yep. You know, one standout combo that I do want to make note of on this weapon is tunnel vision and multi-kill clip.
Oh, yeah.
I love perks that activate on the same trigger, right? So you get a kill, you reload, and suddenly your gun has just a massive aim assist and accuracy buff plus a damage buff. You know, can't argue with that. Except, of course, that again, it's a precision hand cannon and they just are not super strong right now. So getting that first kill is always the struggle. And then being able to line up the second kill fast enough to take advantage. Usually not too tough in sixes, but more difficult in more competitive modes where I would probably recommend against this weapon. And then one other thing I wanted to to just note two in the magazine slot in PVE, probably I would consider appended mag, especially if you can get it paired with Outlaw, because then you have just that many more rounds in the magazine. And when you do have to reload, it'll be fast.
Yeah, appended mag is a great option. You know, the other perks, Ensemble, Encore, Tunnel Vision, Killing Wind, like none of those things really help a ton for PVE. You know, really your only options are Shoot to Loot and Outlaw in that first slot. And multi-kill clip and explosive rounds are both fantastic for PvE. But Tombstone, I mean, come on now.
That's the thing, right? They put a ton of good perks in there, but they also gave us that fancy crystal-making machine. Right. So that's Vulpecula in a nutshell. Do you have anything else to add?
No, I do not. Let's talk about Chrysura Mellow. Did I pronounce that correctly? For some reason, I'm thinking I didn't.
So I believe it's probably Chrysura. But I'm going to be honest. I have only the most basic of Latin pronunciation. And it actually might be a Greek origin, too. I'm really not 100%. Chrysura is a genus. So this is a genus of cuckoo wasps, which parasitize something called a megachilid bee, which apparently is like, I don't know, it's a type of bee that these cuckoo wasps are a parasite of. Apparently they're extremely shiny, like green and purple. And then mellow, most likely, it could mean apple, but I think more likely it comes from the Greek for a song or a poem. So it's like a song wasp, a shiny song wasp that parasitizes other creatures. So, yeah. I mean, you know, who's to say where they got their inspiration from, but that's the closest I could come with my online research to figuring out what this is supposed to mean.
Well, that's an interesting departure from the things. Maybe they were thinking of the death hornets that are out in the West Coast now.
Yeah. Yeah, it could be.
I actually like this gun. I didn't expect I was going to. I've been underwhelmed by high-impact auto rifles for quite some time. None of them really feel great. And statistically, when you look at it, it doesn't give you any reason to think that it would be great. Like all high impacts, it has high range, although it doesn't have great range for high impacts. It's down to 76. And you've got, you know, age-old Bond, Golem's Right Hand, Halfdan D, for example, up at 82. Stability is absolutely an abomination, as it is with all high-impact auto rifles. It's down at 22. It's not as bad as age-old Bond, which is 18, but it's not as good as Halfdan D, which is 28. I mean, handling, also pretty poor, 37. That's about as low as it gets for a high-impact auto rifle. That's about as low as it gets for any auto rifle in general. Aim assist, also not great, 58. Really only lower than the precision auto rifles. The 600 RPM auto rifles have pretty low aim assist, but the recoil direction is one thing that it does have well. It has 86 recoil direction, which is more than enough. That's pretty perfect. Mag size is 32. TTK is 0.83 seconds with 5 crits and 1 body. That is not horrendously hard to hit. You know, the most forgiving TTK that you're going to get is pretty poor, though. The 1.07 second TTK with 4 crits and 5 bodies. I mean, you can definitely hit that. 3 crits and 4 bodies at 1.00 seconds. Sorry, I was reading the other one. Yeah, it's 3 crits, 4 bodies, 1.00 seconds. That's really easy to hit. Like, you're almost guaranteed to hit that, right? As long as you just don't, like, completely whiff any shots. But 1.00 seconds for a competitive weapon is not great. We literally just got done talking about how the 180 hand cans at 1.00 seconds are not great. Now, granted, that's their optimal TTK. This is the most forgiving TTK for the high impact. So there is something to be said for that. It's probably the best high impact that's not Vex Mythic class.
Yeah.
But Vex Mythic class is, in a league of its own, much, much better than it. Now, that being said, I've played with one. I have one with max stability. I actually really like it for sixes. It felt great in Iron Banner. One of its big things is like for mouse and keyboard, you can max range. You can literally hit 100 range on it. And that brings you up to like 32.5 meters of range. But the biggest thing to me is like, and you pointed this out last episode, you've got Scapelock out there sitting at 20 zoom.
Yeah.
Which can basically hit the same range, but is all around just kind of like an easier, better gun to use.
Yeah, I've been collecting Scapelocks, and I haven't spent a lot of time with it yet, but I have a feeling that it's going to blow this gun out of the water in terms of how it feels.
Yeah, so a Scapelock with only a single range perk, like Hammerforge Rifling, is equivalent to a Kreshera Mello with max range, like two range perks and a range masterwork. So, I mean, that should tell you, you know, how much of a difference range makes or how much of a difference zoom makes.
Yeah, it is a lot. And, you know, the other thing is the adaptives, just by a hair, but they can beat out the high impacts for time to kill. You know, they're perhaps technically a little less forgiving in terms of the accuracy required, but I think that makes it a tough comparison for Kreshera Mello in PvP. That said, I do like that the high impact auto rifle seem to hit fairly hard in PvE. The mag size leaves a little bit to be desired, but the shots do have a nice chunky feeling. You feel like you're actually doing some damage. So this is a gun that I'm probably going to stow for solar burn situations. I don't know that right now it's going to be a go-to in PvP for me, just because even with a lot of stability piled on, it has a lot of visual recoil that I feel like makes it harder to get the crits you need than it's worth for the effort, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and because the adaptives also, like the adaptive's most forgiving TTK is 0.90 seconds with 6 crits and 4 bodies, which is super easy to hit. So all around, I mean, I enjoyed it in PvP, but I didn't find it to be competitive by any stretch of the imagination. However, like you said, PvE, the only anti-barrier we have is auto rifles this season. And the perk pool, especially in the left or the right hand column, is absolutely stacked with PvP perks. My whole thing is that I pretty much have just max stability. I was like, look, I'm not getting the range out of it anyways, no matter what I do, because I can't change the zoom. So I'm just going to max stability. So I have a max stability masterwork, polygonal rifling, steady rounds. Feels great. So I'm just calling it there. You know what? I don't care that the range is only 28 meters or whatever. If I really want range out of an auto rifle, I'll go grab a Scapelock.
Yeah.
So I went with max stability. I have one. I actually have two with Dragonfly that I really enjoy. I have heating up with Dragonfly, and I have dynamic sway reduction with Dragonfly. Dynamic sway reduction and heating up are kind of more PvP perks. I think you're better off with fourth times the charm to help with the kind of lower magazine size, or potentially outlaw. Outlaw and Dragonfly is just a fantastic combo for PvE. But in PvE, you've also got Demolitionist, you've got Multi-Kill Clip, you've got Frenzy, you've got Harmony, you've got Thresh. So it's almost like, you know, you can't really go wrong. I know that people have said that Thresh isn't particularly great in in-game PvE because you're not getting as many kills with your primary on, you know, the heavy enemies and stuff like that. But at the same time, I mean, Frenzy, Harmony, Multi-Kill Clip, Damage Boost for Days, Demolitionist, pretty darn great. Dragonfly, absolutely fantastic for stuff, for activities where you're killing ads with primaries.
Yeah, I think it's going to be pretty easy to get your hands on a role that you like for this gun. And it certainly is going to, I mean, as with any weapon, it's sort of about what are you looking for, right? What are you trying to get done? But this gun really has, again, like like Vulpecula, just a strong overall selection of perks. Any given role is likely to be like, ah, I might use this. You know, there's probably a time when I'm going to want this. I've been trying hard not to overstock. It's been a little easier with Chrysura Mello than it was with Vulpecula. I definitely have too many Vulpeculas right now. I got to thin that herd. But yeah, I like this gun. I like the way it feels. I wish it was more effective, or rather just not outgunned in the Crucible right now, because I'd love to play with it. I like Demolitionist a lot right now because of the combination of getting grenade energy back and reloading the weapon. I just feel like that makes it a super strong all-around perk. And so for PvE, that's probably my preference. Now, I know, again, like Thresh, if you're not getting as many kills, the payoff is lower, but it does give you a significant amount of grenade energy back, right? It gives you 10% back per kill, so you don't need a lot of kills to make a big difference in terms of getting your grenade back faster. I have a role with Dragonfly that is just a joy to run in lower level activities. So, like I said, you can't go wrong.
And if you're really like, you know what I want? Vex Mythoclast, but a little bit worse for PvP. You can make, because it is solar, and it is close to the rate of fire. It's 360 compared to 390. You can get very, very close to Vex Mythoclast stats if you get like two stability perks and a range perk between the Masterwork, the Barrel, and the Magazine. You get two stability and a range, you'll have very close to the same range and stability as Vex. And then you could go with something like multi-kill clip and heating up. And heating up will probably make up the rest of the difference to make it feel like Vex in terms of aim assist, in terms of recoil direction. And then multi-kill clip will bump the TTK up enough to where it kills, you know, a little bit faster than Vex. So if you're like, I want Vex, but worse, but also not exotic. You can get like a poor man's Vex roll out of this, and it will feel pretty similar to it in its non-linear fusion rifle form, of course.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. No voops.
Personally, I'm actually going to go for a roll like that because I think it'd be funny to beat people with Vex using this roll and basically just be like, I beat you with a worse version of what you're using. I think that'd be a pretty fun time.
Well, fair enough. You know, the other thing, of course, is that I do want to get a solid roll of this with Harmony, because again, with Harmony, it's suddenly a lot more appealing in terms of time to kill. And if I can pair it up with one of just the many very strong options in the kinetic slot, I mean, I like that.
Yeah,
I like those odds.
Next up is the Wolf Tone Draw. It is the third and final primary weapon that we were given. The Wolf Tone Draw is a bow, but it is not Le Monarch. So, how do we feel about that?
So this is probably the weapon I am least excited about, if I'm going to be completely honest. It's Arc, it's not Stasis, so it doesn't have that shiny, ooh, new damage type, new perks. I mean, it has some new perks on it, but I don't know, man. It just does not feel like it does anything that really grabs my attention and makes me excited about the possibilities.
Yeah, you know, it's hard with these bows, because they're not doing enough. They do a ton of damage. They do a huge amount of chunk damage. But you're just at such a disadvantage most of the time using any bow that's not Le Monarch, without really just doing some crazy specking or doing some crazy building, that they're not particularly useful for a majority of people in either 6v6 or in 3v3 or in PvE, but at the same time, they also can't really be, because if they were, they'd be absolutely broken. Now, thankfully, this season, we have an overload bow, which is great because that makes Bose overload. I actually think Overload Bow is the best overload. It's a hell of a lot better than SMG Overload, which is freaking awful, which is horrible to deal with.
Oh, God.
So that being said, we also learned from Chris Proctor that stability actually has an effect on bows. Stability makes the perfect draw. You can hold it longer and it is more easy. It's more forgiving, basically, which is really interesting. So on anything that is not an Oathkeeper Hunter, stability may actually be worth it now, particularly in PvE, where you are trying to hit those perfect draws for the overload. In PvP, it's still pretty worth it, but at the same time, I'm an Oathkeeper Hunter.
Yeah, as a hunter, if you're playing with bows and you're not using Oathkeepers, it just feels like you are missing something. That's super key. So while I would probably, you know, knowing what we now know, consider prioritizing stability instead of tanking it like I usually do. I don't know. There are a lot of bows out there that all sort of feel the same. One thing that jumps out to me about Wolf Tone Draw is that it seems to have, it has a selection of perks that you can combine to really massively reduce the draw time on a precision bow. So you'll still have that good precision accuracy, but in theory, a much lower draw time. And since it's not going to kill in one shot, no matter what you do, not even with Adagio, not with Harmony, not with Frenzy. I mean, if you could get Frenzy going in the Crucible, it's never going to one shot anybody. It can't do enough damage. So you might as well not worry about potentially reducing your damage. Get that draw time masterwork, get that polymer string, get that archer's tempo, and throw cornered on there. And hey, maybe you'll draw fast enough to two tap somebody before they can kill you.
Yeah, I mean, I guess we do have to go over the stats as well for it. Unfortunately, it's
I did jump ahead. That's my
unfortunately,
bad.
Unfortunately, it's not great. Now the accuracy is they're all within two of each other. The accuracy is all between 78 and 80 for the precisions, and really the precisions are kind of the only ones that matter. I don't even remember the last time we saw a lightweight. I guess it was Whispering Slab back in Arrivals. But it's got 78. You know, you've got Accrued Redemption from Garden of Salvation that's at 80. Stability is actually quite bad. The stability is at 39. It's actually the worst of all bows. And it's quite a bit under every other bow in the precision archetype. Point of the Stab's at 46. No Turning Back. The old bow's at 53. That's a little bit of a bummer because now that we know that stability actually does something. Handling is okay. It's up at 60. You know, Subtle Calamity's down at 52. So that's pretty comparatively decent. Reload Speed is at 46. They're all at 46. And Aim Assist is unfortunately at 68. That's kind of middle of the road. Point of the Stag is 72. Hush, the old Gambit Pinnacle, is down at 64. So it's okay. It is what it is. Man, in terms of PvP, I gotta roll with accuracy because I'm an Oathkeeper Hunter, and I feel like that's really the only way to do it. In PvE, I'm probably gonna have to go with stability, or maybe draw time. But the draw times in the strings are not really super fast. Was it a polymer string takes basically like a frame off of the draw time and that's it?
So if you have polymer string and a draw time masterwork, then your draw time should be at about 612, which is close to that of the lightweight bows. So, and then if you happen, you know, if you're able to get, you know, Archer's Tempo and or Cornered triggered, then you're probably drawing faster than a lightweight, or at least as fast as a lightweight. Well, I mean, Archer's tempo would make it faster. Archer's tempo makes your draw super fast. And then you could throw on compact arrow shaft, give you some extra reload speed to get that next arrow notched quickly enough. I don't know, man. This is kind of a boring bow for me, personally.
It's also just entirely on what your playstyle is. Because, like, if you're blinting, then you need handling.
Yep.
Right? But accuracy is really super helpful for bows in terms of how forgiving it is to hit a target. So, you know, I'm kind of going to have to just throw my hands up and say, you know, it is what it is. Like, however you feel like you're using it in PvP, accuracy or handling or draw speed, it's up to you depending on how you play it. For PvE, definitely, I think stability, but it's got some okay perks. It's got impulse amplifier, which kind of sucks because if you full draw it, it's basically hit scan. So it only helps when you're not full drawing it, but you really should be full drawing it. It's got Archer's Tempo, which is good. I mean, my probably best role is going to be like Archer's Tempo Adagio, because at least if you get a kill, Adagio is going to bump the draw time up, but it does like 181 damage to the head, which is a huge amount of chunk damage. And Archer's Tempo will, if you hit the crit, will speed up the draw again.
Yep.
And it can kind of neutralize the slower draw time.
That's so true.
I mean, for me, for PvE, it's probably got to be Archer's Tempo Adagio. But, you know, even in PvE, I will say I like Dragonfly on a bow for PvE.
Yes.
It's got Dragonfly. That's pretty awesome. Archer's Tempo pairs really well with Dragonfly. It's also got Frenzy, which is nice. You know, like you said, it's got Harmony, which is nice. I mean, Harmony does stack well with a blinting bow, because if you hit someone, switch to your hand cannon, kill them, switch back to your bow, you've now have got Harmony on your bow, right? Like there is some combos there that you can work with it.
Yep, that's true.
And you know, corner is going to be great, and gambit or corner is going to be great where there's a ton of adds. Like you're basically just going to have a faster charge time, like all the time when there's a lot of adds up. So I will say that if it weren't for the overload bow mod, I wouldn't be super excited about this, but I really do feel like overload bow mod is going to get this thing some use in PvE. And I think there's a lot of potential options for it.
I will say that the last column especially does have, it, as with all of these weapons, has a lot of great choices. And it is interesting to see some of these perks on a bow, you know, like cornered, like dragonfly, that, you know, maybe you don't usually see on a weapon like this. So it does jump out at me that way. It strikes me that I blame myself, but we did do this weapon all out of order. I was not able to figure out what the reference was for Wolf Tone Draw, but there is a Theobald Wolf Tone who was a leading Irish revolutionary figure and a founder of the United Irishmen, a society that revolted against British rule. He was sentenced to death in 1798. He requested a soldier's death. He wanted to be killed by firing squad, but they sentenced him to die by hanging. He ended up dying by neither. It's theorized that he committed suicide before he was hung. So
I don't know that that is what they were going for on this.
I've got nothing. That's all I could find. So
okay. It also has shoot to loot.
It does have shoot to loot.
So if you want that, it's all right. You know, it is what it is. So shoot to loot, Archer's Tempo can pretty much go with anything in that last perk slot. So, wow, that's probably the least helpful breakdown we've ever done. We're basically just like throwing our hands up, just like, whatever, go with some perks.
Yeah.
You know, get whatever perks you want in the first two slots, get whatever perks you want in the last slot. Like, which I don't know if that's a good or a bad thing. It might be a good thing that's like, it really doesn't matter what you get. Like every single one of these roles is going to be useful in its own way. Depending on which one you get, you can completely change the way you play the gun depending on what role you get.
I want to give credit to the design team for just putting, like, I think a quality selection of perks on there that actually makes it difficult to say this is the one to go for, right? That's tough to do. It's tough for them to do. So I respect the fact that they were able to really accomplish it pretty effectively on the weapons that we've talked about so far. It's pretty awesome.
Yep. Next up, I guess we should move on over to these special weapons. We've got a Fractathist. Fractathist? Is that how you pronounce it?
Fractathist. Yeah. I really couldn't find a whole lot going on here. That I believe what they're going for is that it's sort of a play on it being like an ice version of an amethyst. Like an amethyst is a purple stone. And so a fractathist would perhaps be a darkness stone. I don't know. I couldn't really find any clear definitions for like thist or ithist as a suffix. Amethyst is literally the only word that I'm aware of that has that sound in it. So, I don't have a whole lot for you on the vocabulary side.
Well, perk-wise, pretty easy for PvP, full choke, either assault mag or accuraz rounds for a masterwork.
Stats.
Yeah. Oh, I guess we have to talk about the stats. Yeah, stats, sorry. Sorry, I forget that people care about the stats on shotguns, because I certainly don't. I'm not a shotgun player. I guess I should get that out of the way now. It is a precision non-slug shotgun, so it is a normal precision pellet shotgun. Stats-wise, it is pretty okay. I mean, the precisions in general have pretty decent stats. The range is 66. That's middle of the road. You've got some stuff that actually, that I lied, it's kind of low. I mean, it's above average for a shotgun, but it's kind of on the lower side of a 4-point spread. So, you know, you've got Prophet of Doom at 70. It's not really a huge difference, especially because range like basically does nothing anymore. Like it's all based on the actual archetype itself. The only thing that really matters is the damage fall off a little bit. Stability, you've got 50. That matters not at all on shotgun. We learned that in the podcast as well. Now, handling is pretty nice. Handling is up there at 47%. That's a good bit higher than any of the other precisions, which are all down at 41 or 42. And reload speed is up at 55, which is also pretty decent. Inventory is 45. Aim assist is 72. They're all between 72 and 75. And mag size is 5. So the stats are there. They exist. What you pretty much want to go for is full choke in the barrel. Probably assault mag or accurized rounds in the or light mag even potentially in the magazine slot with maybe a handling masterwork as your option, because you don't need to stack into range. It's not going to do that much for you anyways. So go ahead and slap on a handling masterwork. Now if you're doing PvE, I really feel like the only thing that matters in PvE is potentially handling. I don't know how often you're using a precision non-slug shotgun for boss DPS, which is the only time stability would even matter on a controller, maybe. And even then, the rate of fire isn't really fast enough to where it does. I think the only option you have is handling.
Yeah.
And because full choke's not great because it reduces the precision damage. So you don't really want that.
I mean, I think this is another example where they've put a bunch of great perks on the gun. But for me, there is a pretty clear, like, optimal role set for PvP. And so, like you said, like full choke, I think is probably the best choice. Rifled barrel is fine, but it does tank the handling, which makes those quick swaps harder. Normally, I am a fan of rifled barrel, and this gun rolls with quick draw. So rifled barrel is fine as long as you have quick draw. Quick draw is, I would say, the optimal choice for PvP in that column, but it's a good column, that first trade slot, because you also have slide shot, which is, I mean, very strong on a shotgun like this, especially now that sliding penalizes your stability unless you have slide shot, in which case you still end up ahead. And it means you don't suffer from that potential accuracy penalty. If you happen to not get the one tap, your next shot's not going to be wildly inaccurate somehow. So,
well, you can also, with slide shot, you can slide, come out of the slide, and still have the bonus from slide shot for a couple seconds.
You do.
That's helpful.
Yep. So I think that pairs great with assault mag if you are going to be firing the gun rapidly. But I probably mostly prefer quick draw.
It definitely PvP. Does, and it and for PvE you've got dual loader, which they did the math and dual loader does help. You will reload faster from empty.
Yep.
And lead from gold, which is kind of just it exists. I'm not really huge on lead from gold because heavy is so rare anyways, and you more often than not have more special. And the last slot for PvP, opening shot is a great option.
Yeah.
Harmony is a really fantastic option. You'll love that 20% damage buff on it. Adagio, also kind of a neat option because with a shotgun, like the rate of fire in PvP isn't really going to matter a ton if you get the damage bonus and you get that one hit kill from a further distance. Now, of course, it's going to, you know, nullify a bit of assault mag. But I think Adagio is a kind of interesting perk. And then obviously for PvE, you've got Trench Barrel and Thresh as well. And Dimlet or Adrenaline Junkie, sorry.
Yeah. So the again, they keep they've really done a great job of stacking that final trait column. I think opening shot is probably the best in terms of getting the one hit kill for PvP. So pretty strong option there. But like you said, Harmony and Adagio present some very interesting new options for follow-up kills. I think Fractathist is a weapon that pairs potentially very well with any other weapons that have Harmony that fall in the energy slot, where you can maybe swap back and forth and maintain that 20% damage buff over a, hopefully a long period of time. And then,
yeah,
you know, like you said, Adagio pairs, I think, pairs pretty well with Assault Mag because you end up not having to wait that extra long time. Although if you had accurized rounds, I wouldn't be mad either. You shouldn't need more than one shot with Adagio active.
Yeah, they've done an interesting job so far. If you look at the guns, Vulpecula, Crashura Mellow, Wolf Tone Draw, Fractathus, like they're all pretty darn good as far as it goes. Vulpecula is probably a little bit stronger for PvE, but it has some builds that make it very strong for PvP. Crashura Mellow, very good for PvE, especially with the anti-barrier. Wolf Tone Draw, normally wouldn't be super excited, but with Overload Bow, really stoked about it for PvE. A couple of builds that could potentially make it fun in PvP if you spec into it the right way. Fractahiss, like, it has all the perks you're looking for in a PvP shotgun and the perks you're looking for in a PvE shotgun, too. Like, it's actually pretty impressive how well these guns are stacked up. Like, I'm not looking at any of these guns and just thinking, like, oh, crap, these perks again. Like, I'm actually like, all right. And I was saying this on, I was on the Destiny show earlier tonight. And I was talking about, I was like, this is the most guns I have wanted to get in probably any season that's come out so far. I'm like going down the list and I'm like, I want that one. I want that one. I want that one. And not only do I want them, but I want like 2 to 3 rolls of each one.
Yeah.
And we could target farm them because they're coming from the Emerald Engrams too.
Yeah. The last roll I wanted to mention that I would be looking for on a Fractathist would be Assault Mag plus Dual Loader plus Trench Barrel.
Yeah.
Because I think you could pump out so much damage so fast.
That would be a great yellow bar killer.
Yeah. Yeah. Fantastic for dropping champions, majors. Really, really something to hang on to. So, okay, well, that's yet another weapon where we've sort of said all the perks are good.
I think we did a better job at going through and actually picking out some roles that you'd want to aim for on that one. I almost want to go back to freaking Wolf Tone and like revisit it and like highlight the roles on it. Maybe we'll do that at the end of the episode. But anyways,
next up is a gun that I know that we can narrow down.
Yeah, this one is my personal favorite. This is the one I care the most about. I've been target farming this since day one. I still do not have any luck, but it's Iota Draconis. So what's that name mean? Is this one a constellation?
This is a constellation. Actually, I'm sorry. I apologize. This is a star in a constellation. So it's in the constellation of Draco or Draco, depending on whether or not you're a Harry Potter fan. So Iota Draconis is... according to the internet, a visually unremarkable star. It does have a planet orbiting it, so that's cool. But it's just a part of the Dragon constellation. It's that's about all there is to it. There you go. Not a super exciting name, but it's cool.
And unfortunately, not a super exciting gun, although I do love it. Stat-wise, it's not tremendously great. The range is 51, which is the lowest of all the high-impact fusion rifles. For comparison, Glacioclasm not only has 16 zoom compared to 15 zoom, but it also has 67 range, and Iota Draconis is not. Stability is also not great. It's down at 32. Glacioclasm's up at 36. The Wizen Rebuke was at 35. I think the only one lower than it is Gallon Charge, which is down at 31, which is obviously Sunset now. The handling, also not great, down at 30. Now it's not as bad as Gallon Charge, which is 27, but it's not as good as Glacio, which is 40. Glacio was just a monster, stat-wise, across the board. It has ruined every other high impact. Reload speed is okay for a high impact, bad for a fusion rifle. It's 25. They range between 24 and 28. There's not a huge variability there. The inventory is really terrible at 18, actually the lowest of all fusion rifles, which is interesting. And then the aim assist is also not great. The aim assist is at 59. That's the only thing it beats Glacioclasm on. Glacioclasm has the lowest aim assist of any high impact. It's down at 55, but like Arentol's up at 65. And then the recoil direction is quite okay. The recoil direction is at 73. I wouldn't say no to something like chamber compensator, but it's not necessarily needed. For this gun, it is the same role I was chasing on Glacioclasm, and I never got it. It is even more important now that the gun is right on the cusp of killing in 3 bolts. I cannot stress to you how important it is to make this gun kill in 3 bolts as often as you can. The charge time is quite slow. The range is not what I was hoping it would be, and it just, with 2 less bolts than it normally has, it just doesn't have the consistency that I was really looking for. The only way I have found to get these guns to perform the way I want them, I have one with liquid coils and I have one with high impact reserves, and that makes it a pretty consistent 3 bolt. Your barrel perk, like obviously I like chambered comp because it gives me a little bit more vertical recoil direction. It gives me a little bit more stability to try to keep those bolts a little bit tighter. I wouldn't say no to Hammerforged Rifling or Full Bore, right? Extended Barrel. Extended Barrel is going to give you range plus recoil. I was thinking that stability is going to be the winner here for the bolt spread, but they're so close to the cusp of killing in 3 bolts that as soon as you get outside of damage fall off range, it very quickly drops down to 4 bolts. And even if you can push it out by, like, I want to say that extended barrel pushes it out by, I don't know, a meter or like a meter and a half, it does make a little bit of a difference. I'm still probably going to go chambered compensator because liquid coils and high impact reserves combined does step the damage up to, I want to say it's like 65 is what it displays as. And that's enough to kill most people who are running normal resilience levels in the Crucible. Obviously under pressure is the best perk to go along with that, because under pressure and high impact reserves are going to activate at the same time. Under pressure gives you improved stability and accuracy. I think if you get chambered comp, under pressure, high impact reserves, liquid coils, or, the same roll with extended barrel, and then you get either a range or a stability masterwork, that's probably the best thing you're going to be able to do. I have difficulty caring about like any of the other rolls, to be entirely honest. Like, I know Harmony is in there, and I know Kickstarter is in there. Kickstarter is really freaking hard to use now with charge rates being so slow on this gun. Your margin for error with Kickstart is teeny tiny. If you're off by like a half second, Kickstart will just like cut off in the middle of your charge, which is super not fun.
Yeah, I have to think for PvP, like the ideal situation would be range masterwork, extended barrel for the range and the recoil direction, enhanced battery under pressure, high impact reserves, right? Just all the range that you can pile onto it. You know, throw a either a, I don't know if you need a counterbalance stock at that point, or just a targeting adjuster for a little extra aim assist. And just try to get those three bolts.
Definitely use targeting adjuster or Icarus. Don't use a counterbalance. You don't need it. And counterbalance is going to bump you up by 15 anyways, and it's going to kind of put you more on a horizontal path. So definitely roll, you know, with a plus 10 if you get in the barrel. If you don't get it, I would just ignore it, and it's not the end of the world. You know, it does have Adagio, which, God bless its soul, I tried. But Jesus, that charge time. So it's got to be a second and a quarter or a second and a fifth. It is so, so slow. Like, it does a ton of damage. Don't get me wrong. I want to say it does like 75 or like 78 damage, which is crazy, and makes it easy three burst. But man, that charge rate is slow.
Yeah.
Like, really painfully slow. And there's just, you know, even with, I play this gun pretty defensively. I'm not super aggressive. I pre-charge a lot. Even with me playing it that way, that charge rate is just pretty brutal.
So I have to wonder if you've managed to pull one with Harmony yet, because I think that is maybe the other option to consider for getting the damage up. If you can pair it with something, a primary that you're really strong with, you can get a kill, swap to your Iota, and that's a fat damage bonus right there.
I did get one with Harmony, and it definitely helps, right? But my issue is that you play this gun not as your primary. You get a kill with your primary, you swap to it, and you're like panicking in 7 seconds trying to find an enemy to kill. So you have to balance between not playing this gun aggressively to like playing this gun hyper aggressively for a short period of time. And I didn't really feel like it played well with the way I was playing the gun. I felt like I was constantly back and forth, like bouncing back and forth between two different play styles mid game. And I wasn't really loving it. And honestly, I was like, I feel like if I'm going to play aggressive with a fusion rifle, just rapid fires are just like straight up better for playing aggressive. Or even I could just use like a plug one, right? And a plug one is just better than it was last season. So it's like, if I really want to do that, I'll just use one of those.
That's fair. I mean, you could pair it with an aggressive primary if you wanted to play it aggressively. Throw the last word in there with it, and you'll always be in range.
Or an SMG or something like that, or even a sidearm now.
Yeah.
You know, there's some good sidearms out there.
Traveler's
Bond,
Chosen.
For example. Yeah.
Peace Bond,
Traveler's
yeah.
Chosen too. Great. Yeah, you totally could. Honestly, I mean, that's not the way I play, right?
Like, yeah.
And so for me, I'm sure there's someone out there who could do that very well and would really enjoy it. But for me, the way I play, I mean, you know, my favorite primary is Messenger and the Monarch, right? Like, there's a range that I enjoy acting in. And the whole reason I love these fusion rifles is because, you know, my primary range is 30 meters or something like that. Well, my high impact fusions are like a 25 to 30 meter with the right roll. Like, you know, it's a 25 meter gun. So as soon as someone starts getting too close to my comfort zone for my primary, like, bam, defensively, the high impact fusion is right there.
Yeah. You know,
so that's kind of the way I play it, which is how I justify the particular role that I'm looking for.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think we've covered that one pretty well for PVE. I don't know. I haven't heard a lot of chatter about fusion rifles being a great choice.
Well, it's because the exotics are taking over with DPS with the new particle disintegrator or whatever it's called. The artifact mod has got everyone up at arms about, you know, 1,000 voices and merciless and everything like that. So
yeah, the exotics are super strong. You know, the legendaries are probably also pretty decent. They aren't the exotics, and so that's a big argument against them. But I have to think, you know, there's a lot of great damage buffing choices on this gun. All of those are probably going to be solid choices in PvE if you do want to take it there. And I would also look for ammo and reload, because those are the two things that really matter, I think, on a weapon like this in PvE.
Yeah, you can go with enhanced battery. Frenzy is great in the last perk slot. Feeding frenzy, right? Like you go, if you go enhanced battery, feeding frenzy, frenzy, like that's a pretty great PvE role right there.
Oh, yeah. Earlier I said enhanced battery. I meant liquid coils when I was talking about PvP.
Just wow, to, bringing it back like 5 minutes ago. Nobody's even going to remember that that was what we were talking about.
Yeah. yeah. Oops.
All right. Well, you want to move on to the heavy then?
Let's take it to the heavy. Canis Major. Canis Major is another constellation. It is Latin for the greater dog. It's a constellation in the southern sky. The brightest star is Sirius, which is also the brightest star in the sky and one of the closest stars to Earth. Interestingly, there is also a dwarf galaxy, which is also named Canis Major, that is part of that constellation. And that happens to be the galaxy that is not the Milky Way, that is closest to Earth. So, pretty cool. It's Canis Major is one of the dogs of the constellation Orion. It's one of the hunting hounds.
Well, stat-wise, it is a rapid-fire heavy grenade launcher. Actually, stat-wise, it's pretty good. It has the best velocity out of all the rapid fires. It's up at 57. The lowest would be down at like 45, but they're all between, all the modern ones are between 53 and 57, so it's not a huge difference. Stability doesn't really matter. It's at 32. Handling is not particularly great. It's at 28, but they're all between, you know, 26 and 32. The reload speed is 30. They're all between 28 and 33. There's not huge variability in any of the rapid fire grenade launchers. Now, it is worth noting that the reload speed and the handling are both very poor for the rapid fire grenade launchers for heavy weapons. The inventory is pretty good at 36. Aim assist is 30. Not that that matters. Mag size is 5. I have been enjoying grenade launchers a little bit more in PvP heavy grenade launchers. I've actually swapped out my Tomorrow's Answer rocket launcher, and I have swapped over to a heavy grenade launcher in PvP, which is interesting.
Wow.
Unfortunately, it is not Canis Major, though. It is Memory Interdict or Interdite or whatever it is. So I tried Canis Major. I didn't really like the lower blast radius, even with the higher velocity, is what I found. However, in PvE, I think maybe it might be nice to have the higher velocity.
So there is a perk combination on Canis Major that really plays into maximizing your velocity. And that would be leaning into spike grenades and using this as a tool for dealing massive damage to majors, champions, and bosses. So you could pair it with hard launch in the barrel. You'd have spike grenades for your magazine. And then in the first trait slot, you've got impulse amplifier to massively boost that velocity and the spike grenades damage bonus effectively. And then you could throw a Vorpal Weapon on it for just a little bit of extra boss slaying damage to just go full in, lean fully into that fantasy. This is just a massive nail gun that you are using to slaughter your enemies. I mean, I think it's pretty neat. I think it's a cool little fantasy that they put in there for us.
And you could even get a Velocity Masterwork.
You can.
You can get up to like 80 velocity with this thing, not including the effects of Impulse Amplifier.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So, you know, throw the backup mag or the damage mod of your choice on there, and you've got a nice little tool in the toolbox.
What I have actually found is I am really enjoying grenade launchers in PvP. Not for boss damage, but for ad clear.
Yeah.
Particularly in the new astral alignment activity, where you have massive groups of ads coming up in the blind well.
Same.
Grenade launchers with chain reaction are fucking fantastic. There's the one F word for the day. I'm sorry, Tengu, for saying the F word, even though your son is listening. You could censor it. But I'm loving them with basically not caring about velocity at all and just saying, I want every bit of blast radius that I can get. And then once I get all the blast radius, then I want to increase the magazine size so I can basically fire as many. So I'm using, and this is not on this particular gun, but volatile launch, augmented drum, chain reaction, and clown cartridge, I think, or sometimes killing wind too. Killing wind is great because it's so easy to get a kill with this that you basically have killing wind up all the time. It doesn't help a ton in PvE because it's like, do I really need it? But at the same time, I'm like, plus 50 mobility, plus handling, plus range. Sure, why not? Because, you know, as you know, range on projectile weapons increases the velocity of the projectile. Clown cartridge is also great, though. It happens like, I feel like it happens every time you reload. You get bonus shots into the magazine.
So, yeah, clown cartridge, I think, is a fun option. I would also remind people about field prep in that same column. So increased ammo reserves on a heavy is always nice. Plus, all you have to do to get much faster reload, stow, and ready is crouch. So run behind cover, crouch, and you've got like plus 45 reload and a 0.8 scaler on your reload speed. So it's significantly faster. The ready and stow animations are faster. It's field prep is just overall a super strong PvE perk. Would highly recommend people look at that. Chain reaction is hilariously effective, as you pointed out, against those groups of ads. It's ridiculously effective. And yeah, if you can pair it with just more ammo, more blast radius, they're a super great tool for controlling the battlefield.
Yeah, if you can get volatile launch, like a blast radius masterwork, dragonfly spec, augmented drum, it doesn't even really matter what you get in that first perk column. Like, pretty much anything will do fine for you. Like, you'll be okay no matter what you get. But chain reaction is really the one that makes it for an ad clear. Because you got to think, like, normally with a rocket launcher, you shoot and you kill a handful of ads and the chain reaction, you know, kills the rest of them. But then you have to reload again. With chain reaction on a grenade launcher, you can kill the same group of enemies, but then you have, if you have augmented drum, then you have six more shots after that that you can keep killing enemies with.
Yeah.
It's made it, ever since I started using it in PvE, I was like, oh man, this thing's actually pretty good. Now I've started taking it into PvP, and what I'm finding is that it's almost just as easy to kill an enemy with, in some cases easier, and I can kill multiple enemies. I can kill three instead of just one because I have three shots. So I've really started to enjoy heavy grenade launchers in PvP and PvE, and the way I'm loving it is not for boss DPS right now, but is literally like, this is the easiest ad clear I've ever had in my entire life.
Yeah, I think that they sometimes fly under the radar because they sort of sound like they're just going to be a weaker rocket launcher. But a rocket launcher is often overkill for a lot of situations. And so a weaker rocket launcher actually can be a pretty good thing.
Yeah. All right, guys. Cool. Well, that is it. I have got to head out. I have to drive my fiance to the airport at 5 a.m. tomorrow morning. So I need to get this edited and up. So I'm going to call it a night unless you think you have anything else to add.
I do not. These are some awesome weapons. I'm super excited to get back to farming them. So let's say goodnight.
Yeah. All right, Guardians. We will see you next week. And let's all farm some weapons.
All right. Peace.